politics without the soap opera, with unfiltered constitutional conservative truth. The Conservative Review with Daniel Horowitz.
And welcome back, fellow American patriots, sick and tired of the rudderless, aimless, fake controlled opposition on the right. If you are seeking something greater, something strategic, something successful, well, we're pretty much the only one-stop shop in town for conservative news, views, strategies, and outcomes here at CR Podcast. Your host, Daniel Horowitz, back here today for Wednesday, April 10th. And folks, between inflation, invasion, indoctrination, deadly injections, anarcho-tyranny, an Islamic takeover of America and the West, we need solutions. You can't fight evil with stupid. We learned that from Europe. Okay, very self-evidently, that despite the harmful and unpopular nature of everything going on in Europe, the left keeps winning. And that's because the right is a fake right, is stupid, incompetent, weird, a garbage can collection of any sort of reactionary view at a given time without any foresight of what you want to do with it. So now we're at the point where we all hate the left. We all want to own the libs. We all want to expose what's going on. But then somehow we wind up with not just the old, you know, much regarded failed right being repudiated to the dustbin of history, the Bush Republicans supporting this stuff, but the new MAGA Republicans, log cabin Republicans, pro-abortion, queers for Palestine. You know, everything kind of goes into that garbage can. And that's what happens when you're stupid. You can't fight evil with stupid. What is it we believe? What is it we want to achieve? And let's do it. And that's what we're all about here. So I want to start off today. We're going to start off with something that rhymes with Tucker suddenly adopting the Islamic Jihad queers for Palestine view, obsessing about it, by the way, at a time when he should be fighting FISA 702 and the Ukraine package, the latter that Trump is supporting. A little bit weird. You know, it's not Ben Shapiro now pushing the Ukraine lend-lease. It's Donald Trump. Wondering why he's not focused on that. So we'll cover that, but that is emblematic. The sudden embrace of queers for Palestine is the same embrace as the sudden embrace of abortion and the log cabin Republicans by people like Carrie Lake and others. There's nothing new. So everyone's talking about this week on how the right is now adopting, you know, the MAGA people are suddenly excusing his abortion stance. Like, you know, they're excusing everything. But what I'm trying to tell you is that it's not a coincidence that the same week that, or, you know, month that Trump seems to be moving over on Israel, starting to echo the armpit of the geopolitical demonic globalist left with the Gaza civilians, somehow Tucker adopts that as well. They all swim in row in the same direction, and it ain't a good direction. Basically takes every weenie view that we had on the right and somehow makes it great again. Because we're just asking questions. We're an enlightened, nuanced right. You know, just simply adopting the left's position on Hamas, on the Rainbow Jihad, on healthcare, on abortion. So in other words, when you look at Trump's change on abortion and then his lieutenants down the line like Carrie Lake promoting it, it's not just abortion. You can't give an abortion-centric commentary to fully understand it. It's the same reason he's flipped on Bud Light, on Obamacare, on all these left-wing endorsements, and now appears to be on Israel. So we'll start off with the latter with Tucker and then move down from there and get to as much as we can cover the issues that matter, the way they matter, the time they matter, as always. But first, I'm very excited today to announce a dual action item and new sponsor, Freedom Ordinance. It doesn't get better than that. So a lot of you that have gotten into handgun, some people have never gotten into rifles, some are vice versa. And Freedom Ordnance, they have their FX9, which was my first rifle actually owned, carbine, technically a pistol carbine. It's chambered in 9mm. And here's why that's important. Not only are rifles very expensive, but what's even crazier is rifle ammo is a fortune now. Okay, rifle ammo is a fortune. It's at least twice, more than double the cost of 9mm. And, you know, I like to train hard. I expend a lot of ammo. And so I do own a, you know, regular rifle caliber AR, but what my go-to gun for training in long arm is the Freedom Ordnance FX9. I've had it for a number of years. I put a lot of rounds through it. It's chambered in 9. It's the same AR platform as any, you know, real AR rifle, but it's chambered in 9. And here's the thing. It is interchangeable with Glock magazines. So that's what's so amazing, how cheap it is to practice a lot and fire a lot of 9mm. Freedom Ordnance is a veteran-owned and operated in Indiana. It doesn't get more American than that. So it's chambered in 9 from ordnance-grade heat-treated steels and aircraft-grade aluminum alloys. Very solid, very comfortable, very quiet as well. Very quiet. So a lot of you looking to get into this, A, it's quiet. That's a big advantage of 9mm rifles. You don't need a very expensive silencer. And then B, the ammo is much cheaper. Freedom Ordnance FX9 is used by competitive shooters who put in excess of 10,000 rounds downrange a year, so you know you can trust the quality, the durability of Freedom Ordnance line of firearms. And speaking of their line, they actually also have, in addition to their FX9, they have an accessory I want you to look at that's a lot of fun, their FG15. So it's a pistol grip. It's a grip that comes with a lever that has almost like a Gatling gun function. And you rather than pulling on the trigger, you flip it, and it almost gives you automatic action. I say almost because I don't want to get in trouble legally. Now, they do have it on their website. You go to freedomordnance.com. If you do look at the FG15, in addition to buying their main product, the FX9, you will find they do list the states that you're not allowed to get it in, which is mainly the blue states. You can't have it shipped there. But otherwise, anywhere else, you could have the FG15 shipped to your FFL, and certainly the FX9 could be shipped to your FFL in all 50 states. So, folks, those of you getting into AR, or if you already have a regular one, you'd be dumb not to get the best 9mm chambered AR-style carbine, Freedom Ordnance FX9. It's just so much cheaper to train on. You could use your Glock mags and 9mm that you use for your handguns. But here's the deal. You go to freedomordnance.com, and that's, by the way, spelled O-R-D-N-A-N-C-E, Ordnance. Promo code Daniel, you get 17.76% off. Just a throwback there to our favorite date in the calendar, 1776. So you're talking about almost 18% off the price. That's a very, very generous offer only to our listeners. Only to our listeners, literally. There's no other show that has that code, promo code Daniel. It's been an honor to be a partner with them and to be a consumer of their products for the last couple of years as well. I hope you guys join me. Again, freedomordnance.com. By the way, I do want to announce, not to mix in another advertiser here, but for Patriot Academy, they will have their rifle range done. So we've been doing handgun defense. What about rifle AR defense? So if you go get your FX9, you could come and join me. We're looking roughly at September. It will be completed sometime in the summer on their campus in Fredericksburg, Texas. Shoot me an email, danielhurwitz@startmail.com, if this is something that interests you to go out and do rifle defense. Again, a lot of people do, you know, scoping and sniping, but we're talking about more closer range defensive training with it, which is what we're going to need with the anarcho-tyranny. So again, let me know if you're interested in some date in September. That looks to be the window. I don't have an exact time for you to sign up yet, but you know, we'll be in touch with that. So anyway, folks, back to the show. You know, I'm always trying to give you guys practical solutions, even with guns. We're trying to really help out here. I don't see how we can continue on the path that we are now, where everything is just mindless, random, garbage can style populism. Everything is just grab a view in order to get a talking point. I want to own that guy, so I'm just going to go change my views on this issue. Oh, or I have to accommodate Trump, or I'm so worried about Ukraine, except now that Trump supports it, now I'm silent on that. We cannot go on like this. MAGA has become a controlled opposition within a controlled opposition. Because what happened was the first iteration of controlled opposition kind of ran its course because it was so ineffective and the left was being so successful. We had this budding movement that was like, no, we got to get rid of them. In comes MAGA, preempts it, hijacks it, jujitsus it into a black hole where we're the same thing we were before. Oh, we got to win elections to elect the piece of garbage on the top of the ticket. Oh, be weak on the, you know, log cabin Republicans, MAGA. So you got Carrie Lake now supporting, you know, the Arizona, you know, Supreme Court rules that the 1864 law banning abortion goes into place. Carrie Lake opposes it. And, you know, a lot of people are surprised. Oh, Carrie Lake, I'm surprised. I'm not surprised. The same Carrie Lake that says, oh, let the states decide, but then now that her state is deciding, she doesn't agree with it. She celebrated in November or December 2022 a party at Mar-a-Lago hailing Biden signing a bill mandating gay marriage on the red states. So it's not a matter of let the states decide. It's a matter of being a leftist on abortion and being a leftist on marriage. And it's not just as we will see about, you know, now it's not really about some stupid marriage certificate. It's the normalization and grooming and gaying of an entire society. Okay. If you didn't see it 10 years ago, you got to see it now. Was about a lot more than some private marriage certificate that doesn't affect you. No, that's not what it was about. She's all for that. Oh, and by the way, where is Mar-a-Lago? Who owns it? Oh, that's right. The man at the top. So again, your commentary on abortion, well, we're smart politically. What? So, but we're losing on the rainbow GI? No, we're not. We have momentum on that. Why are you going left on that? And the answer is it has nothing to do with anything strategic. Oh, we need to be weak on crime to get the black vote. First Step Act. Oh, Obamacare is popular. Let's support that. The media is having a firestorm around the Gaza civilians, so let's screw with Israel. You know what I mean? There's nothing nuanced or enlightened about those views. So that leads me to something that rhymes with Tucker. Very interesting. It's funny. He seems to only be focused on foreign policy. Very interesting for America First. You know, it's kind of funny. I am Jewish. My people suffered the greatest slaughter since the Holocaust by a mutual enemy of Christians and all Westerners, Americans, everyone. And it's not just in Israel. They're rampaging in the streets in our country, in all Western countries. But, you know, I haven't focused on Israel that much. I focused on Wyoming, Idaho, South Carolina. Doesn't get more America First than that. I focused on the primaries. I focused on how we could fight inflation, how we can fight the invasion at a state level, how we can fight the FBI weaponization. I think I kind of have a better track record on America First issues than something that rhymes with Tucker. It's not like I focused on Israel that much. Here and there, we did a show, you know, what's important to us. And again, this is not about Israel. This is about one of the top issues we face. Is the Islamic takeover of Western civilization. All right, so it's not so important. You don't focus on it. You don't support any foreign aid. I respect that. Again, just understand with Israel, it's a little bit complicated because it's not a matter of foreign aid. We didn't give them any new foreign aid like we did Ukraine. It's a long-standing agreement where they get weapons from our defense contractors. In return, they can't get it from elsewhere, nor could they develop their own systems for a lot of these weapon systems. So they're kind of stuck. It's a unique situation. I believe we need to chart them on a course to independence. It's good for everyone that way. But let's just understand the nuance there. So then when the American administration under Obama and then Biden go and basically cause an attack on Israel, and they're now surrounded by empowered enemies directly empowered by our government. Well, yeah. And then now they rely on our defense contractors pursuant to their to our defense agreements in order to defend themselves. Well, I mean, what do you want from them? Like, what exactly do you want them to do? But anyway, that's been Tucker's focus. Very, very. He's just asking questions. Just asking questions. Very enlightened. I mean, whoever thought of this nuanced view? You know, there's been this standard dogma on the right to support Israel over demonic Islamic jihadists. Man, but, you know, I don't know about that. You know, I'm going to be unique. I have a very unique view. I'm going to take the Queers for Palestine cause that's supported by every country, every globalist organization. It is the glue that binds every left-wing geopolitical cause is the Palestinians. So he thinks he's being enlightened by going against the grain of American conservatism, but you're supporting everything else. It's not like you're, you know, against the world, like with the vaccines or something like this. The whole world supports actually the whole world supports the so-called Palestinians, except for American conservatives. So it's a little bit bizarre. But anyway, he has on a pastor, but not just any pastor, a Palestinian pastor. Now, if you don't know this already, if you are a Catholic or Orthodox or Protestant leader or clergymen operating there and not on the Israeli-controlled side, but on the Arab-controlled side, and you're still there years later, despite the fact that they basically liquidated Christianity from their areas, there's kind of something wrong with you, okay? Just so you know. So he basically has this guy on to smear Israel and say Israel doesn't treat Christians well. But in fact, if you actually go through the interview, he doesn't talk about the, you know, treatment of the Jews to Christians versus the Palestinian Arabs to Christians in Bethlehem. This guy's from Bethlehem, because he couldn't talk about that, because if he had to talk about that, he'd have to admit that Bethlehem was 80% Christian under Israeli control. But then after Oslo, when they gave it up in 95, they, you know, suddenly lost population, and now it's down to 10% from 80%. You know, under Arab rule, the birthplace of Jesus underwent a full Islamization. So it's not surprising that you'll have a so-called Christian get up there and promote. Again, he didn't really talk about so much, oh, the Jews mistreat Christians and the Arabs treat them very well, because he couldn't say that because it's not true. Instead, he basically just parroted the same left-wing ubiquitous view of the IDF is doing bad things to the Gaza civilians. Like, we needed to hear more of that very enlightened right-wing America First view. So this takes it to a new level. Remember, this is not just, look, we need to stay out of it. They do what they want. See, Tucker is lying to his audience by creating a fake reality when the opposite exists. See, whether you agree or disagree with him, it's not Ben Shapiro's worldview on Israel that's prevailing in current U.S. policy. It's the exact opposite. But then the problem is, Tucker would then have to admit that, oh, you're calling for a ceasefire in Gaza. You're calling for the preservation of Hamas, the Muslim Brotherhood. Okay, that is the Biden administration's position, and they're doing it pretty well without you. But then he'd be embarrassed. So he has to create this fake thing as if we're like indulging Israel. We're giving them stuff. Again, it's pursuant to longstanding defense agreement. There was no new bill that was passed, despite the greatest slaughter of Jews. It's not like we indulged them. There were some attempts to, but ultimately nothing passed. And whatever. I mean, he's the one focused on it. But this is not some sort of thing like, look, let them do theirs, we do ours. I'm just opposed to all foreign aid. That's not what this is about. He's downright taking the side of the Muslim Brotherhood. So all these pastors, not pastors, imams that you find in Dearborn that are saying death to America, death to Israel, that girl we played in North Carolina that said, you know, made it about race, which is really what it is, an anti-colonialist view. You support Israel because they look like you. Colored people, just like you took over the Native Americans. That's what Tucker is siding with. Truly bizarre. I mean, in order to own Ben Shapiro, so what, you're going to side with Islam? See, that's what makes no sense. Islam has been rampaging since October 7th. You know, he's like a great defender, Charlemagne, great defender of Western civilization. And then somehow he supports Islam. Truly weird. Kind of interesting how it coincides with Trump's change on the issue and the whole Andrew Tate thing, who's a Muslim convert, but then says Christ is king, just to own the Jews post-October 7th. Kind of weird things going on. But this is what happens when you have unbridled stupidity. You just come full circle and land in the same place. Nothing enlightened, nuanced, questioning. You're just adopting the globalist left-wing dogma. I want to extrapolate just on the stupidity, because there's a trend among the, again, not everyone, not all Trump supporters by any stretch of the imagination, but there is an element on the right that's adopting the global left-wing view. Not just, hey, let's just kind of stay out of things, but I'm taking it to the level of completely supporting the Queers for Palestine view, the Muslim Brotherhood taking over our government view. And it's just so, so bizarre. Now, speaking of values, supporting those with our values, how about supporting the only mobile service provider that's Christian conservative, supports the sanctity of life, religious freedom, and free speech, and then gives you the same good service. So why not change? Go to patriotmobile.com/CR or call 972-PATRIOT. Use offer code CR to get free activation. Keep your phone. Keep your number. Get the same coverage, but lose the funding of China, the funding of spying, and the funding of licentious Islamic and anti-life values. By the way, if you are a veteran or first responder, police officer, let them know. They'll give you a special discount. Go to patriotmobile.com/CR. Call 972-PATRIOT. Offer code CR. We're just proud of our longstanding 10-year relationship with Patriot Mobile. So, folks, this whole thing doesn't make any sense. Why would you specifically pick a fight and try to drive a wedge between Christians and Jews at a time like this? Why? And again, when I say a wedge, it's with religious Jews that share the same values, support Trump. It's just weird because, again, it's not this whole like liberal Jew canard. Because the liberal Jews agree with Tucker on that. The liberal Jews are the Queers for Palestine. They support that crap. I mean, there's a tiny element of people in the middle that are kind of somewhat still Democrat, but they support Israel, or neoconish Republican that support Israel. But that's a very small kind of in-between sliver. Most of the Jews that support Israel over the Arabs are patriotic Americans and agree with us on every issue in America and support Trump, for that matter. It's just weird. Why would you drive that wedge? You know, post-Enlightenment, we've reached a beautiful time where every religion gets along with itself except for one. Anywhere around the world, whether it's Kashmir, whether it's Burma, Myanmar, whatever, whether it's Chechnya, whether it's Israel, whether it's Nigeria, whether it's Albania, it's Islam fighting with Buddhists, Islam fighting with Hindus, Islam fighting with Christians, Islam fighting with Jews. But every other religion, you know, especially since the 90s, the final peace deal in Northern Ireland, when you know, buried the hatchet there with Catholics and Protestants. Religions get along. And that's a beautiful thing. Especially when our biggest enemy is Islamic Jihad, and really the biggest religion of all, paganism, which is just, you know, takes from every religion, whether, you know, these big pagan demonic Western leaders, their parents were Jewish, their parents were Catholic, parents were Protestant, whatever they are, they're pagan, ultimately. And that's really our biggest threat is paganism, and then pagans enable Islam. So why would you try to drive a wedge at a time like this with, you know, particularly those sorts of Jews? Because, again, the type of Jews that you were like, yeah, those globalist liberal Jews, they actually are the ones that are funding the rallies for Gaza civilians that Tucker agrees with. They actually had one yesterday taking over the Senate cafeteria. None of them, of course, will be prosecuted. Maybe Tucker should be the keynote speaker there. But it's just so weird. Why would you do that? Bringing up all these, you know, these Jews have not accepted Jesus. Okay, I mean, that's old news. I mean, like, we know. Catholics have their beliefs. Protestants have their beliefs. Biblical Jews, you know, as opposed to the pagan ones that aren't even Jewish, they have their beliefs. We get that. I mean, otherwise you would join the other religion. Of course, you're going to, you know, you keep your religion because you have your beliefs. That's a reality. But, you know, aside from, you know, which descendant of King David will ultimately bring the Messiah, is it really worth opening up that schism with all of our shared, you know, concerns for America, for, you know, the rainbow jihad, the Islamic jihad? Why would you pick a fight with that? And again, it's the people who live the most decadent life and themselves aren't Christians. It's like the European Christians. That's what they're becoming. They're attracted to this. Heck, even Andrew Tate was suddenly saying, Christ is king. I'm not getting involved in that whole thing. I'm just saying, the statement Christ is king is standard Christian dogma. Otherwise, why would you be a Christian? But I think you all understand that if you look on your Twitter timeline and you literally never said that until after October 7th, to side with Hamas, to own one well-known Jew in conservative media in the face of the biggest slaughter, I don't think that's very Christian. Well, what do you mean, Daniel? It's all a Christian place, Christ is king. Okay, stop with the Amelia Bedelia crap. That's not what you're trying to do with that. So this is part of that whole Tucker right now. So now we bring on, it's like me bringing on Al Sharpton and calling him a reverend. That's what they did. They're bringing on fake Christians that are sitting in Hamas-controlled areas, literally while they're giving the interview, while the Palestinian Arabs have liquidated Christianity, and somehow that's our focus. So when I'm focused on primaries, I'm focused on state interposition, on immigration, on economy, on culture, on FBI weaponization, state legislative sessions, the budget fights, everything in Congress, FISA 702, Ukraine. Somehow this is what Tucker is focused on. It's coming from a very dark place, and it's headed to a very dark place. Doesn't make any sense. Not by a long shot. By the way, speaking of what we face in the West from this, this is what Tucker is siding with. This is from Daniel Greenfield. There's a poll out of British Muslims. 1 in 5 younger Muslims, 18 to 24, believe making Islam our national religion is very desirable, and a total of 43% supported redefining the UK as an Islamic state. Only 16% oppose it. You understand that? I see a lot of things thrown around like this Tucker right, the Candace Owens, the this and that, the Zionist this, Zionist that, Zionist this. As if there's like somehow this effort to turn America or the West into some sort of Jewish fascist state or something. Like, no, actually, it's the people you're siding with that are doing that. 1 in 4 British men expressed a positive view of jihad. 46% of British Muslims sympathize with Hamas, as did 58% of younger British Muslims. So it's actually getting worse by age. 1 in 4 Muslims had sympathized with the famous 7/7 suicide bombers in London. 52% of Muslims supported a blasphemy ban on Muhammad cartoons. 46% of younger Muslims favored a Muslim political party to contend for power in Britain. So there you go. This is what we need to be fighting. But instead, something that rhymes with Tucker is being something that rhymes with a Tucker. But again, this ties into the whole thing that we were okay with this movement, including the man in the top, supporting gay marriage and celebrating mandating it on the states, while states need to decide. Hey, Trump, did states need to decide with marriage? Shouldn't that be something they should decide? Isn't that interesting? There's something, that's what I want to tell you to take away from this week. It's not about the mechanics of the policy, morality, or electoral politics of abortion. Because this mindless fake right is adopting foreign views on a multitude of issues. It's what happens when you believe in nothing. And it's all about a grift. It's all about a person. It's mindless. It's stupid. You get nothing. So we come full circle. It's now based to support Hamas and the queer faggot views that's like literally, it's literally the top priority of academia, media, globalism is the Palestinian cause. There is nothing. What you saw before Israel did a thing within 24 hours of the slaughter, you had rallies and riots in support of it in Western countries, backed by NGOs. That's what you're supporting. Again, I don't care what you think of Jews, of Israel. You want to privately hate Jews for whatever reason? Go hate them. I don't care. But don't call yourself some sort of based right-wing populist, nuanced, enlightened guardian of Western civilization by supporting the armpit of what's destroying Western civilization. And that's the unholy alliance between BLM, Antifa, pagans, and Islam. So bizarre. By the way, there is this donor to Tucker's Tucker's little network there, whatever his venture is now. That's a Pakistani Islamo-fascist. I'm trying to see where this is. This is from Chris Morris, Fortune magazine. Omid Malik, through his newly launched 1789 Capital Boutique investment firm, has invested $15 million in seed capital into Last Country, the startup founded by Carlson and Neil Patel, according to Wall Street Journal. And the venture will ultimately be subscription-driven, but is currently building an audience with videos featuring Carlson streaming on Twitter. And I'm just telling you, there's something funny going on there. Because it's just, there's one thing, okay, you know, you're not as traditional evangelical Christian, you don't view it as pro-America, pro-Christian to support Israel, But to obsessively take the other side of it, there's something really funny about that. It happened very sudden. And again, it's like, what you're, when are you more likely to turn on them? After October 7th? I don't get it. Not just slaughtering them, but then reaching critical mass political clout in America. You're not bothered by that at all? You're bothered by Ben Shapiro, but not them? It's also like, you know, the whole Ukraine thing that Tucker said is his top issue. So you're bothered by Ben Shapiro, which I don't even know if Ben has endorsed aid the last year or two. You know, at the beginning, like everything, he gets roped into the stupid things. Trump is endorsing it right now, and pursuant to that, Johnson is pushing it. Who's a bigger, like, I don't understand. He's the problem and not Trump? There's something very dark going on here on this pseudo-right. I want to extrapolate upon this a little bit more before we get to some other things. But first, our final sponsor today is our friends at FastGrowingTrees.com. Folks, while you still have your piece of the American dream, your yard, make sure you beautify it this spring when it's the best month to grow things. It also has the best sales at FastGrowingTrees.com. You put in promo code conservative at checkout, you get an additional 15% off on everything, every type of tree you can imagine, indoor and outdoor, by the way. So even if you're in a northern climate, you can't grow a lot of the tropical stuff, like we have mango, avocado, and lemon trees, and lime tree, too. Lime trees from last year we have inside. You can grow it anywhere. But again, only if you utilize this limited time offer by going to fastgrowingtrees.com, promo code conservative for an additional 15% off today. So, folks, what's going on broadly reminds me of Kings 12. One of our listeners reminded me of this. He was, you know, studying Kings, and this is really the probably the best biblical analogy, historical/biblical analogy, for what we're sandwiched in between. Just two false choices, one worse than the other, or both equally as bad, where we say, oh, but the other thing, but this, but that, but that. Well, how about they're both wrong, and we need to forge an affirmative path to truth? Kings 12. You had the glory days of David and Solomon. They built the temple, made God supreme, one God. Remember, at that time, that was the only monotheistic religion. Everything else was pagan, idolatry, and everything that all the accoutrements that come with it. And this was restoring, you know, God to his glory, the ultimate dream of the Exodus, Passover, taking the Jews out of Egypt, fulfilling the promise to Abraham, settling the land, and building the temple to the one and only God. But then Solomon died, and he had a weak son, Rehoboam, and Rehoboam was caught between two factions, and he sought counsel. You know, the people wanted reforms; they wanted there were problems going on with his leadership or lack thereof. And he sought counsel from the elders who advised Solomon. And he said, look, you know, you got to address the concerns in a smart way. And he rejected them for these hot-headed populist youths. They're just, you just go and do what you want. So he destroyed the legacy of his father and his grandfather. And because of that, God punished him and rose up a leader from the northern tribes. You know, back then they were all Jews, all Israelites, all together. And that led to the splitting of the kingdom into Judea and then the northern tribes, the 10 tribes. And that's Jeroboam. And this is Kings 12, Kings 13. And Jeroboam got up there and gave a speech, and he articulated all the ways that Rehoboam was deviating from God. And his critique was perfect. Except that's all he had was a critique. It turned into a grift. It wasn't about steering away from that and back towards David and Solomon, back to the Bible. It was about himself. So his solution was even worse. He was like, rather than restoring the temple of his glory, I'm going to make my own temple, my own golden calf in the northern part of the country and set up guards to block people from any pilgrimage during the three annual festivals up to serve God. And he's like, you know what? I'll do idolatry like there's no tomorrow. And that's how it was as the two kingdoms moved away from God. But Judea kind of went up and down, and once in a while you had Hezekiah's, you had people that led them back to God, whereas every single person who came from Jeroboam, every single king of the northern tribes was wicked, was idolatrous, every single one. So in other words, the solution wound up being even worse than the problem. And that's really where we are. We had a GOP that just, since Reagan, just lost it. Reagan was the right man at the right time for those issues, but then rather than building upon it for the next issues, we went backwards. And then, you know, and rectifying some mistakes he made, building on it, no, we went backwards. With the Bushes, and we squandered the 90s, the 2000s, when the Fourth Reich was being built, and we just squandered it on nothing, funded it, aided it, abetted it, grew the deficits, grew welfare, grew the dependency, grew the bureaucratic state, grew the regulatory state, blew our wad on refereeing Islamic civil wars in the next decade. And we had nothing. We had no vision. And, you know, there was backlash here and there. You had Perot. You had the 94 revolution. You had a little bit with Pat Buchanan here and there. You had Ron Paul. You had the Tea Party. And then you had MAGA. MAGA was the only one that endured. But the reason why it endured is because it ultimately didn't oppose the system. It just merged with it. It took us into stupid, mindless populism built around one man and his capricious whims that it's all about himself. And that's how you just land into just a garbage can collection that even the things that we were righteous on in the past, where we didn't allow the log cabin to normalize homosexuality among Republicans, now they hold celebrations at Mar-a-Lago and are the top aides to one of the top lieutenants of MAGA, Carrie Lake. Now we throw abortion overboard, one of the few issues Republicans were righteous on. Now we throw Israel overboard, and not just pandering to Israel, but downright supporting Hamas. That's now in vogue. Now we're all for entitlements and welfare and more spending as long as it's not for Ukraine and illegal aliens. But, you know, socialism is great. See what I mean? Except this time it's our ideology. It's our idolatry. This is the new enlightened version. No. This is the people that are coming to recognize that we know what time it is and we're rectifying the mistakes. We acknowledge the stupidity of the GOP of yesteryear. So we hijack that growing momentum to jujitsu it into the same place and in some cases even worse than the same old kind of Chamber of Commerce GOP. So now we're a pro-log cabin, pro-Obamacare, pro-big spending, but then we complain about inflation. Pro-abortion, pro-Hamas version of everything we just hated until now. Vote Republican! What's the point? Doesn't have to be this way. And by the way, one of the proofs it doesn't have to be this way, you know, so as we're talking, they're debating the rule on this FISA 702 reauthorization. So to his credit, Trump actually did come out late, like 2 in the morning. I guess he's up all night. Kind of weird dropping it then, but okay. A little bit too late because they already had the momentum would have been nicer if he would have joined us a week ago. But he did say, he said, this is crazy. They spied on my campaign. Why are you reauthorizing FISA? So someone obviously made the call to him, and that's good. Now, we need that same call on the Ukraine stuff. We need the same call on the endorsements, but that's a good example. I want to give credit where credit is due. But if you think very carefully, what's the common denominator between any case Trump takes a righteous position? It's only when it's about him. Oh, they spied on me. Now, that's fine. It's insane what they did to his campaign. It's insane what they're doing to all of us. So I'm all for trying to align his personal interests with our interests. That's kind of what we need to do. We're stuck. But let's not lie to ourselves that he is somehow this based pro-America leader. He is pro himself. The only times we can get him to take a righteous stand on things is when it aligns with himself. Notice the things he's been focusing on. Oh, they spied on my campaign, so I oppose that. Oh, let's get involved in a legislative fight. Really? Oh, when does he ever do it? Oh, in Nebraska. Because it's about the Electoral College. That's all he understands. But what that reveals is this about, and by the way, even on that, just so you know, the proof will be in the pudding, and we'll know tomorrow. We'll have Congressman Warren Davidson on to discuss the FISA fight tomorrow. But the question is whether there's teeth behind that one social media post on the FISA reauthorization, because Johnson's going to jam it through. So will Trump support getting rid of him? Until now, he has supported him. So if he has privately supports him, but like, look, you know, I can't not go on record of, you know, opposing FISA, so it's kind of a wink and nod. That's the very failure theater that we blame McConnell and McCarthy for. Like, you fake oppose it, but not really, because where the leverage really is wielded is over Johnson himself. Johnson said, by the way, earlier today, that he spoke with Trump last night and Trump never brought up FISA 702. It's not like Trump's denying that. So based on Trump's behavior with the budget bill, I tend to believe that. But we'll find out. I'm just saying, if that social media post is real, if there's really teeth behind it, Johnson would be too scared to bring it up. But we'll see what the reaction is. Time will tell. But the point is, I'm just trying to show you the few examples how it doesn't have to be this way. It doesn't have to be this way. And finally, I just want to get to back to the economy, some things we were talking about yesterday. So you have the CPI report today. It's just gangbusters, just crazy. Utterly crazy. Inflation is just skyrocketing, and car insurance is out of control. Energy is now up again. And we now face, as I mentioned yesterday, a scenario where permanently, unless you're wealthy, you cannot afford basic living that your parents and grandparents were able to afford. And that's a big problem. And what are we going to do about that? And we were talking about the need for states to gradually adopt gold and silver as currency and enable people to use bank accounts that are pegged to gold. So you're able to use the current currency, but it completely pulls the rug out from under the feds. But, I mean, this thing is off to the races. So a lot of these guys are like, this is where the mindless MAGA-ness comes in, where you mindlessly say, but the Democrats, but then support it. Like, but Biden, but then adopt his position on Israel. So, Bidenflation. But as you well know, it's not Bidenflation. It was COVID, and that was under Trump, right? Because there's a lag time. The same way people think, oh, just elect Trump, and it's going to solve the problem. But how is that going to solve the problem? Name me one thing Trump is going to cut. They already said that they support welfare and entitlements. They support all this stuff. And Trump said you can't shut down the government. And you can't allow default on the debt ceiling. So explain to me how inflation, well, I think on the supply side, we'll do better on energy. I'll give him that. Yes, I'll, you know, give him credit. I hope, you know, I'm not contradicted by this because past history shows I will be, but that he won't give as much foreign aid or funding for illegals. But as we well know, foreign aid for Ukraine and funding for illegals is not really a funding problem. It's a policy problem. It's the policies that flow from it. As a percentage of the budget, it's infinitesimal. You're not solving inflation on that. I mean, you have no idea where we are with the treasuries. Yesterday, again, the treasury, they had a record auction for three-year notes, and they resulted in another tail. A tail is when you have the highest bid they offer, it's not enough, and they have to go higher than that because it was a huge drop in foreign investors. We see that. Japan, China, Russia, they're divesting from U.S. treasuries. We have a very big problem. The amount of interest we're going to have to offer for this sheer magnitude of debt, there's no going back from that. You understand that. I mean, I don't know if a Reagan party could cut at this point, which is why my solution is in the States. But certainly MAGA doesn't believe in cutting spending. But let's just call a spade a spade. So shut the hell up about Bidenflation. A, it was Trumpflation. Okay, I mean, you can't deny where this is coming from. Biden readily added to it. But Trump's not going to cut any of that. So I don't want to hear any more about that. And in fact, if Trump were to become president, they would just push the next emergency and he'll fall for it. And you'll have new great spending because we can't have the stock market crash and we can't have, you know, Federal Reserve. I mean, he buys into conventional wisdom. That's what's so funny about all this. It's so conventional. There's nothing based or populist or it's like adopt the global left-wing view on Israel, adopt their view on abortion, adopt their view on Bruce Jenner and the log cabin Republicans, adopt their view on healthcare, adopt their view on spending, endorse all the conventional wisdom candidates that you need a Chamber of Commerce Republican to be electorally viable, and then we, you know, he pushes one in Montana, and now that guy has a ton of baggage. Nothing is changing. You know, this is what happened after the golden calf when Moses came down from the mountain and Joshua says, "Hey, I hear the sound of war." In the camp. And Moses, you know, it's very hard to translate in English. Moses says, "I don't hear the voice of victors, the voice of those being, you know, shouting in defeat and despair. I just hear the word that's given in Hebrew is kol anos." So it different translation, blasphemous noise or just shouting, meaning not shouting of victory, shouting of defeat, just shouting, just noise. That's what it is, just utter noise. You see, if you have a real, Joshua thought there was a war. So that means that there was, you know, because the problem was that the Jews weren't doing idolatry. It was the mixed multitudes of the nation that they brought up that Moses allowed to come out that were fake converts. But the reason the Jews were punished is because there wasn't a war. They didn't protest it, not strongly enough. So they didn't actually serve it, but they didn't fight it. What's worse than having an opposition, maybe you're losing. It's a shout of defeat. Maybe at that moment you're losing the battle, but you laid down the marker and there's something from which God can bless the fruits of an opposition that eventually blossoms into a governing majority. But if you're okay with everything and you have no standards, and I just enjoy shouting, I enjoy butted libs, I enjoy my social media, I enjoy earning $1 trillion putting out my 45-minute Oprah, everyone has a story-style Tucker interviews, increasingly on things that have nothing to do with America, but then I'm America first, and anyone who is concerned about Jews being slaughtered by Muslims that are a shared enemy taking over America, they're somehow traitors. But then if you support Hamas, you're not. I mean, this is what happens when it's just mindless, stupid populism. That's a secular, fake Christian European right. I promise you, not only will you get the same, as my buddy Steve Day says, the same cake but zanier frosting, you'll actually get a worse cake than you had under the kind of Bush-era Republicans. Don't doubt me. That's where we are. Again, it doesn't have to be this way. We have DeSantis, we have the state freedom caucuses, we have a lot of most red state legislative primaries coming up. We have legislative sessions. We have all of our bills and our ideas that we could be working on. That needs to be our focus. Because if we're putting our eggs in MAGA, and I don't mean the people that, you know, just perceive that it's doing the right thing, but the leadership of it, you're going to support the very subversive things that spawned this movement to begin with, backlash against Chamber of Commerce Republicans, except it's going to be worse by a factor of 10. Bigly. French Revolution, baby. Till tomorrow, God bless y'all. King 12. And thank you for listening.